is K-A-Y-T, Gina Alexandria. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. K-A-Y-T. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
Hello, and welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
But according to St. Mark, the gospel according to St. Mark. Woo! Give this Munis Ministers of Music a hand, this choir a hand. Give our director a hand. Whoa, what a beautiful job they have done this day. Mark chapter 10. Commencing at verse 47. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And watch this. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more of a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I want to talk about, thank God he heard my cry. Come on, somebody ought to be praising God right now. You're here because he heard your cry. And can I take it further? Some of us are here because he heard someone else's cry concerning you. Thank you, Ursus. Sister Willie Mae, we love you and we appreciate you. Let's give her a hand. We cry when we come in this world. We cry during life. And many cry when one leaves this world. Crying is universal. We cry when we're happy. We cry when we're sad. Some of us just cry. Don't know why we're crying, but we cry. There's an old deacon in Woodworth, Mr. John Mack. He kept a handkerchief in his pocket because Brother John Mack would always be crying. He came to church prepared to cry because God heard his cry. There's nothing wrong with crying. Crying is a human emotion. And if you have never cried or don't cry, then something's wrong with you. We cry when our emotions are all over the place. We cry even when there is a sad movie. All of us cried when Old Yeller died. The young people say, who is Old Yeller? All of us cried on The Color Purple when she hugged her father and said, sinners have souls too. Come on, we cry. Little House on the Prairie made me cry every Monday night. We all cry because we are human and we have feelings and emotions. But then there is another cry that really has nothing to do with tears, but your voice. Oh, as the old folks say, that racket we just made, that was us crying out to God. And as the text that is before us, you're going to see why we should be thankful that he heard our cry. As we look at the text that begins in verse 46 of the 10th chapter of Mark, and as Jesus had came to Jericho, went into Jericho, and was exiting Jericho, he was met by a number of people. But then there was one in particular, blind Bartimaeus. The word Bart means son of. Timaeus is the father of him. Bartimaeus means the son of Timaeus. That means that his father was named Timaeus and he was Timaeus' son. Watch this. All of those in the Bible, the woman with the issue of blood had no name. The other blind man had no name. Many that he healed, the man he told to pick up the bed and walk, had no name. But this guy, Mark went to great lengths to let us know that he was the son of Timaeus. Now, the Bible does not say who Timaeus was, but it had to be someone of significance. And this was his son. Watch this. And so in biblical days, when one was blind, he was considered useless and an outcast. And a blind man or woman will usually resort to begging. And so verse 46 not only gives his condition, but it gives his position. Watch this. He says that he sat by the highway side begging. He was there. He had adopted himself to his culture. He believed that his condition was final. So he felt that he was useless, insignificant, had no self-worth. He was a nobody or an outcast. And so he sat by the highway side. He was not even on the road. He was on the side of the road begging, while people would pass him by. Some would drop something in his cup, while others would pass him by. So he held the cup of a blind man. He wore the garment of a blind man. He had adapted himself to the culture. He believed that he's going to stay this way forever. But you cannot say a person will stay that way. You got to wait till they have an encounter with Jesus first. Life has been reduced to a place of hopelessness. Apart from anything that he had, any hope that he had, it was gone. All he knew, Brother Cooper, was his cup and his garment to beg. Watch, if you watch the picture, here he is. You walking across the road, look down in the ditch, near the ditch, on the wayside, by the roadside. He's help a old blind man. Many would look down on him and shake their head. Many would have pity on him and drop a little something in his cup. And when he hear the change hit the cup, he would yell out, perhaps, thank you, God bless you. Then he would hear other footsteps passing by, many people having different conversations, and he would say, help a little blind man. Had on his garment of the blind man, held the cup of a blind man, wanting people to assist him because he himself have already adapted to the culture. And he believed that there was no other way for him to live. Day in and day out, he had the cup to cope with the aspect of his sight being gone. But one morning, when he got to the roadside, it was something different about this morning. And oh, my brothers and sisters, you never know that when is going to be your day for God to open up that window for you. Here this man was in a pitiful plight. He was all by himself. And as he was sitting there, verse 47 opens up a whole different avenue. Remember, verse 46, he's adapted to the culture. That's who he is. He wore the garment of a blind man, and he held the cup of a blind man. He had the routine words of a blind man. He did this day in and day out and day out and day in. This was his culture. This is what he believed to be done, which was right. But this day, y'all not missing, you're missing your praise cue. Some of you have been dealing with the same thing for years. You've been praying about it. You've been asking God to deliver you from it, and you're still dealing with it. People still around you causing hell in your life, and you're asking God to lift you up out of this, but you're still in it. You're in an abusive relationship. You hate you got with him, but now you can't get rid of him, and you're asking God, when would it be my time of deliverance? Everybody else have been sick and healed, and you are still dealing with the sickness that you've been dealing with for so many years. And you asking God, when is going to be my time to get out of this? People are living good, living in elaborate houses, driving expensive cars, wearing name brand clothes. You're living from paycheck to paycheck. Your money is already spent before it gets in your hand. And you're wondering, God, when will it be my day? You're sitting in church this morning. You really want to praise God, but you can't because you got so much going on in your mind. Your heart is heavy. Your heart is broken. And you say, wonder when I'll be able to get up and praise God like Brother West, but I can't right now because I'm going through this. Can I tell you, this might be your day. Don't adapt to the culture. Here it is. Watch this. He has been hearing many other conversations. But this day, Reverend Slaughter, he heard a name. He heard a name that he had heard before. But the difference is now this name is in his vicinity. When one sense goes, another one gets stronger. Here's your praise cue. He was blind, but he can still hear. Some of you can see, but you can't hear. Some of you got 20/20, but you still can't hear. Some of you don't even need to wear glasses or contacts, but you're sitting in church and you still can't hear. Because if somebody say God's been good, you ought to do something. You must didn't hear what I said. God woke me up this, oh, you almost ain't hear what I said. God took care of me last week. You must didn't hear what I said. You can see me, but you just can't hear me. Because if you hear me, something ought to react inside of me. Watch this. Somebody was going around, because remember, he was going into Jericho. He went into Jericho. He was exiting Jericho. And not too long ago, a woman with the issue of blood had just touched the hem of his garment. And that same crowd that was at Jairus' house, here we go. Watch, hear your praise cue. That saw him touch Jairus' daughter and say, Talitha kumi, and the girl got up. That same crowd was on this road. And somebody was talking about, did you see what Jesus did? That same crowd that was marching to Jairus' house when the issue of blood touched the hem of his garment, he stopped the crowd and said, who touched me? She said, it was I who touched you. He said, woman, go home. You're a whole of this plague. Somebody was on this road talking about it. The man that was in the tomb that had been killing himself because he was full of demons, Jesus said, come out of the man. This crowd was on that road, and this man heard about it. Y'all, look, there was another blind man that he spit in his face and told him with mutter and told him to go wash at the pool of Siloam. This crowd was walking on that road. This man heard about it. When Jesus stood on the hull of the ship and said, peace be still in the midst of the storm, the disciples got to the shore and told everybody what he did. The people they told was walking on this road. This man heard about it. Y'all ain't getting what I'm saying. Lazarus had been dead for 4 days, and he was late on purpose. Lazarus, got up there and said, Lazarus, come forth. The crowd that witnesses Lazarus' resurrection was walking on this road. This man heard about it, and he said, if Jesus ever come my way, I'm not going to let nobody stop me from calling on his name. He heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. And when he heard, watch this, y'all. Here's your praise cue. He heard. He couldn't see them, but he heard them. See, faith don't come by seeing. Faith comes by hearing. And just what he had heard all that time had increased this man's faith. And when he heard that it was Jesus, watch this. I know you're going to shout, but don't shout me too hard when I tell you this. Watch this. He couldn't see, but God didn't use what he lost. God used what he had. God didn't use the sight he lost. God used the ears he had. Y'all not getting what I'm saying. Quit crying over what you lost. Quit crying over because he walked away from you. Quit crying over because they're trying to fire you on your job. Use what you have. Quit crying over who didn't love you, who didn't raise you, who wasn't there for you, who didn't stand by me, who wasn't there when I was all by myself. Quit crying over what you lost. Thank God I still have something left. And how many can testify God can use some leftovers? God didn't use what he lost. He used what he had. And when he heard that this was Jesus, the reason why he heard his cry, number one, write it down, it was a passionate cry. He cried out, wait a minute, Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth? Oh, that's him. Here come the passion. Jesus, thou son of David. Wait a minute, Brother Cooper, I'm confused. When he asked what it meant, they say Jesus of Nazareth. But he didn't say Jesus of Nazareth. He said, Jesus, thou son of David. Y'all want to get what I'm saying? He asked, who was it? The people who can see say it's Jesus of Nazareth. Well, y'all ain't getting it. The ones who had their sight, they limited Jesus to Nazareth. But the blind man said, no, this is the one from the beginning. See, when you say thou son of David, you are saying that the Messiah was promised to come through the son of David, the seed of David. And when I say thou son of David, I am saying you are the promised Messiah before the world was created. And he said, I can't see, but I can hear real well. Y'all can see, and you limited him to Nazareth, but he was the one in the beginning. He said, thou son of David. He said, son of David. He said, thou son of David, the Messiah, the one who was slain before the foundation of the world, the one to come to take all of my sins away. He says, have mercy on me. Y'all missed it. Y'all see how Jesus changed the narrative? Because in verse 46, he had his little cup, and he wore the garment of a blind man. And the only thing he would ask for is money. Now he asks for mercy. He's still acting for an M, but it's not money. It's mercy. Y'all missing it. Lord, when he said, thou son of David, y'all ready to shout? He said, I'm holding the cup of a blind man. But sooner or later, you're going to hold the cup from all mankind. It's going to get so hard on you that you're going to be in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. and it's going to fall from you. Sweat will fall as great drops of blood. And that same cup, when you look in that cup and see my sin, the world's sin, how bitter it's going to be, you're going to say, Lord, let this cup pass from me. So in other words, he said, let's trade cups. Watch this. He said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Not only was the cry passionate, but then secondly, the cry was personal. Because look at the personal pronoun. He says, have mercy on me. Throughout history, believers have always cried to God in times of distress. And sometimes after years of crying, one single cry would instantly have God working on your behalf. Now, here it is. Watch this. In past time, he was crying for the wrong thing. And he was receiving what he was crying for, but it kept him on side of the road. But now he's crying for something else to get him from out the position he's in. Watch this. He says, have mercy on me. Call on me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thee shall glorify me. And he said, have mercy. And then watch this. The crowd walkers, the church folk, hush, be quiet. It don't take all of that. Oh, I'm not making this up. If you ain't scratched it out, it's right there in your Bible. In verse 48, they charged him that he should hold his peace. In other words, you ain't good enough to be calling on his name. You are insignificant. You are an outcast. You need to keep your mouth closed. But that blind man, as I paraphrase, said, brother, you don't know my story. I done already told myself, if this man ever come in any close proximity of mine, I'm going to let him know I'm in the house. Y'all not get what I'm saying? If he comes anywhere where he can hear my voice, I'm going to let him know I'm in the house. And I wonder, is that just two or three people can let God know you're in the house? I mean, he sees you in the house, but can he hear that you're here? Can you get up and give him praise? Lord, I'm in the house. I'm in trouble, but I'm in the house. I'm struggling, but I'm in the house. I got some ups and downs. I'm in the house. I've been burdened, but I'm in the house. They lied on me, but I'm in the house. Don't know how I'm going to pay my bills next week, but guess what, y'all? I'm in the house. I'm in the house. He told him to hush up. So not only was his cry passionate and personal, but then thirdly, it was persistent. They told him to not say another word. But oh, they messed up when he said that. Because when at first he was just, Lord, have mercy on me, thou son of David. Look, have mercy on me. When they said, shut up, Jesus. Thou son of David. Oh, y'all get what I'm saying. Let me back it up. When Jesus first come on the scene, he first heard it was Jesus. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. Be quiet. Be of Jesus. In other words, he was out shouting the ones that was trying to tell him to hush up. And see, you need to, when people on your pew telling you you don't take all of that, you need a hallelujah to the newborn king. You ought to shout so loud that he get on another pew next Sunday.
because God has been that good to you. He has brought you from a mighty long way. He kept you when you couldn't keep yourself. That man said, oh, no, I'm not going to let this opportunity pass me by. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy. His cry in the Greek is boeo. What boeo means, it is to employ with a strong voice. In other words, he say, I'm blind, but I'm not mute. Jesus, don't pass me by. Others have passed me by. And I'm not going to let you pass me by because I need you and I can't get along without you. And when he shouted, here's your praise to y'all. Y'all ready? I keep this up. Y'all gonna be standing on y'all feet the whole sermon. When he shouted, when he outshouted the haters, Jesus stopped. Some of y'all been doing out, Jesus still going. But I wonder, can you praise him enough that he just stop and look at you? Let me say it again. Everybody else passing by, but this man shouted enough till Jesus stopped and just looked at him. Look at verse 49. Jesus stood still. He stopped. And he commanded him, saying, be of good comfort. Rise, for he calleth for thee. Now, who did Jesus command to go get him? The same ones that told him to shut up. Y'all not getting it. Jesus said, before I heal you, I'm going to pull you out this ditch. Y'all missing it. But I'm going to use the ones that told you to shut up to pull you out this ditch even before I heal you. So don't go overboard and don't become an emotional wreck over your haters. You got to know what type of God you serve. God will use them same folk to pull you out the ditch that you're in. How many can testify that God works in not only mysterious but unusual ways? He will use the ones that's trying to keep you down to pick you up. Watch this. And in verse 49, he said, look, be of good cheer. Rise.